Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Feed me.
Welcome to the Ryback Show. I am the big guy, Ryback. Happy weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for joining me. We're streaming live on Instagram and TikTok, the big guy, Ryback22. So thank you guys very, very much who are watching the live streams over on those platforms. 3.3 million followers on TikTok as well this past week. Thank you guys. Now working our way up to 3.4. So always greatly, greatly appreciated. For all of that, we're streaming here on YouTube at Ryback TV. Ryback TV here on YouTube. Ryback Rules on Twitch and at Ryback on Twitter. That stream will usually be up for a little bit as well. Live streaming. I should add live streaming on Twitter as well with that, but it's connected to the broadcast. So, guys, iTunes reviews are greatly appreciated. If you can listen. This show is available on all podcast platforms as well. iTunes reviews, greatly, greatly appreciated. If you got a moment to swing over there and leave a review, if you enjoy the show, it greatly helps the cause. And this show, this podcast, is brought to you by my Feed Me More Nutrition, my premium supplement line, sweetened with stevia and monk fruit. No harmful artificial sweeteners or colors. Vegan friendly for men and women, he, she, and thee, on feedmemore.com. You could save 20%. Just by watching or listening to this show, discount code RYBACKSHOW20, RYBACKSHOW20 at checkout. And all this month, I'm giving you guys a free bottle, $34.99 value of our Brain Feed Memory and Focus Support. If you like Onnit Alpha Brain, you're going to love our Brain Feed. It is stronger, it is better, and it is free with your orders. There's another company, Alpha Brain, charges you $79.99 a bottle. Guys, yeah. Sure, they'll throw in a little fancy package that you can't do anything with. And I think that's even more than the $70.99 version. BrainFeed actually delivers results. And again, it's free. And it's my way of saying thank you guys for supporting Feed Me More Nutrition and growing. And we've got all the merch on there as well. I've got the Only Gains. This is our most popular shirt, sweater, hoodie. All comes in tank tops. Only Gains. The chicks care about their Only Fans. Us dudes, we care about our Only Gains. So go over there. This is our number one selling merchandise over there on feedmemore.com as well. The store is now hooked up to YouTube, and we're getting the supplements approved to be on the store as well. You could literally check out here on YouTube. You don't even have to go to the site. So check out the store. We got a lot of the merch up. I think some of the supplements are starting to trickle in. We've got to finish a couple things to get those all uploaded onto the YouTube store. Ryback TV on that as well, guys. So anyways, here we are deep into my 24-hour fast. Great weekend. I got a big shoulder session coming up for my shoulder appointment for my scar tissue. Have made monster strides forward with all of this. And as you guys all know, it just kind of in a, you know, everything with the legal stuff for the Ryback trademark, my deposition will be going down in October. It's just a matter of if it's going to be early October or later October. And we're waiting to get back some information And I've talked about that in last week's show and everything going on in WWE, once again, delaying, just trying to drag their feet on this entire process. And the ball is in their court if things are going to get rectified and resolved. If not, I win the trademark. It is pretty much, I am beyond confident we are winning this. They don't even have anybody that could do a deposition on their side outside of Hunter, who's not fit to do a deposition on this. So, but let them, and I would love to waste some of their time some more with everything that they've done, but we'll see what happens going forward with all of that. Guys, this show, you are the co-host of this show. You ask the questions. I do my best to give you the answers from my point of view, my perspective on anything, health, fitness, supplementation, life, pro wrestling, and anything and everything in between. Your super chats are greatly appreciated. The big guys, Starbucks coffee and shoulder scar tissue money. Super chats are always greatly appreciated and brought up on the screen in supporting the show. So let's go. Richard, right off the bat, Richard started off hot. If the deal with WWE would go well, would you take a match to end Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? So again, if all the legal situation and all the wrongs, and I've talked about this, if they right the wrongs of the past, I'm the easiest, most laid-back guy in the world. I have been stabbed in my back by them multiple times. They are firmly aware. They're well aware of the stabbing they have done and what they have done post-leaving with the social media and all the BS, right? With that, if all the wrongs of the past are righted, we could then move forward and talk about business. Until that is done, I can't do anything. I will have nothing to do with it until that is acknowledged, until they acknowledge me and acknowledge the wrongs and say, you know what? We were wrong. We want to repair this relationship. What they've said, they want to repair the relationship. They have to now back the talk up. And that's all that it is too. We get to that point. Sure. We could talk about doing business. I would love nothing more than to come in and do that. That would be who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want that to do that? Right. But I love storytelling, and there's a great story with all of that. I will say I played a monster role in the three biggest names in wrestling: Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins. With that, in helping build those guys up with my energy and playing ball and always being a team player. Right, with that, there's a great story there in the grand scheme of things. But that story doesn't matter to me unless that other stuff is taken care of. I love Roman. I think the bloodline stuff is the best stuff going on in wrestling. I saw the segment with Sami Zayn last night and becoming an honorary Oos. I absolutely love the direction and where that is going. I think Sami Zayn, when I was in WWE, Sami was on the road. I remember liking Sami a lot, and I didn't get to talk to him a lot. But I remember there was on my last tour that I did, my last European tour, I left shortly thereafter. Sami was down early in the catering, the breakfast. And it was me and Sami sitting down there and just having a nice conversation about life. And I talked to him enough prior and heard him talking where I knew he was an intelligent individual. And I greatly enjoyed our conversation. And I feel like that would have been a guy who I would talk to regularly up there if I were to have stayed, if I didn't need to leave and didn't walk out with my injuries and all the BS going on, right? With that, so I'm very happy to see Sami playing a role like that in delivering. Like, I think anyone that knows him knows he can do. He's beyond talented, and he could play many different roles. But I thought everything, the production end of it, the camera work, Jay Uso, I think it was Jay, that doesn't like him with the ripping the shirt off him, and then Roman coming giving him the honorary Uso shirt, and Jay like kind of looking disgusted in the back. I thought that was absolutely fantastic, and I tell you, this gives me like the Sons of Anarchy vibes with the Bloodline. I would love to see Tamina join the Bloodline at some point. And again, you don't have to rush any of this. I would love to see Tamina and Sammy dating storyline was. So that ties Sammy into the bloodline. It, like, I want to see it connected in every way possible. So I'm hoping Tamina at some point when they need her is in, and then it's revealed that her and Sammy are dating on screen. And then we could just keep, I now don't want the bloodline thing ending for years. I want the bloodline to grow slowly. I want it to become an NWO thing, but not the NWO, where, you know, NWO grew rapidly and people were just very slow over the course of many years, and it continues to expand and there's drama, but it's like Sons of Anarchy and it's family and blood, right? And like, and then eventually they're all done. But it's all over. But I think that would have tremendous potential long term, which has already been long term for WWE and for wrestling, how quick things go. So that's one of my favorite things going with that right now. All right, let me see here. Tyler, thank you for the nice comment. Tyler says, big guy, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you always just being you and never wavering from that. Your content helps some of us mentally more than you will ever know. Best wishes. Thank you very much, Tyler. And I love you guys too, man. And I'll constantly continue to do this. And I've actually have dialogue with YouTube, which I'll share this with you guys. As you know, if you've noticed, the views and everything on YouTube is very low, yet the subscribers are over 405,000 subscribers now. I managed to somehow get this information from YouTube, which they still will not answer me what the average viewership is on the average YouTube channel, which they have these analytics. What the average YouTube channel, how many views you get per based off subscribers. Like if you get, what's the average YouTube channel get viewership wise based off their subscriber number rate? So if it's 10%, 20%, 30%, 40%, what's that average? Typically on most social media, 10% tends to kind of be that number on the average. Now that could be different from platform to platform, but a lot of these platforms have stopped sharing that data because then people know when they're being restricted and when things aren't right, when there's a massive drop, right? But so YouTube doesn't want to tell me this information with that. So if my channel, say it was 10%, every video I have should get around at least 40,000 views with that, with some getting more, maybe some getting a little under, but it should, on average, you average about 40,000. That's not the case. It's not even close. I'm probably around like 2% with, right? 2-3%, which is absolutely horrible. So I go to YouTube and what I do is I just keep my cool. I go, okay, great. You guys say that this, yada, yada, yada. Can you please send me over my 2018, 19, 2020, 2021, and up thus far this year? Could you please send me my total views for each year and my subscriber count for the end of each year, in which they sent, I made the channel, I think in 2018, but didn't start really making content for 2019, 20, and 21, and now. So going on about 4 years of making content almost with that. I, 2019, had 189,000 subscribers, and almost 9 million views. The following year, I think I had 11 million views and 100 and something thousand more subscribers. 2020, it fell down a little, like to 10 million views, but still in that range of what I'd been doing. And again, over 100,000 something new subscribers. And then guess what? For 2022, which has been the big, with all this stuff and everything going on, that's when my YouTube really, really, really crashed. And I go, in which people are saying they're not getting notifications. And I've seen my subscribers, people saying they're being unsubscribed. And in 2022, I have only had 3 million views, right? And we're not going to get, we're probably on pace to get maybe 4 or 5, maybe if we're lucky with that by the end of the year, based off how things are. And here's the real shocking number, total subscribers for the year, 14,000. So I've gone from getting over 100,000, almost 200,000 one year, but consistently in the six figures in subscribers each year. This year, I'm at 14,000. And I said to YouTube, I go, thank you for sharing that information. Now we could clearly see. I'm telling you guys, people are telling me this. Can you please answer me why those numbers, when content is being produced, the people, my numbers are still going up though, right? So you can say, well, people are unsubscribing from your channel. Okay, people have unsubscribed, but I've still got more subscribers than I had. So people are joining the channel. Why has everything gotten so low with the same content that the people have signed up for? But what's happening is people are not getting the notifications. Some will, but not everyone that has them on. And that's the same pattern that's happened on the other social channels where it's like controlling your impressions. If people don't see that you make content, they don't click on it. The hardcore, the few people that will check in every week do, but majority of people need to be reminded, oh yeah, I want to watch that. And that's where you get those numbers. So when you get your numbers based off your subscriber count watching, then that helps you fall into the algorithm for other people to see your channel. So they've completely taken that away from me again. No videos can go viral, nothing. And which the YouTube, again, they go, oh yeah, subscriber count has nothing to do with views. I go, that's odd. I go, how come the more subscribers people have, the more views they typically get? In which YouTube goes, oh, because of the notifications. I go, exactly. So how can you tell me subscriber count doesn't matter, which you just said, and I'll remind them, and then go ahead and say this a couple emails later. And this is the game that I'm in and that I'm dealing with and try. I go, look, just let me have my goddamn normal reach. That's all I'm asking for. But I greatly appreciate those of you that do stick and see. And again, like I've said, it's just a boomerang going back. Not a boomerang, a slingshot, I apologize, getting pulled back. And eventually when I win all of this and the truth is going to come out, you're going to see the difference that it's going to be. I'll have all this content and it's going to make it up on the back end of things. But in the here and now, it's beyond frustrating for me and to grow and to be seen on certain things and then not be seen on others. And it's beyond frustrating, but I'm glad to know that it is helping some people. Hello, hello. But I do suggest to you guys, just make sure that you have notifications on and all notifications for my channel. And they tried to say that they go, oh, the people don't have notifications on. I go, look. I trust that when somebody says that they have notifications on, and it's happened so many times that it's not the people making it up with that. I look at my subscriber count where I go click on it and I'll all of a sudden see it drop down 25, 50, and then it trickles back up and then it drops back down. And I'm just like, I've watched, been doing this for 4 years plus now where I've watched the numbers and I go, this is the first year that I see the subscriber count keeps getting pulled down, even though it's going up, which is why it's so few. They're unsubscribing people from the channel, which I've had many people email and say, look, I haven't unsubscribed from you, and they unsubscribe me. How many people has that happened to? They don't even know it's happened to. You know what I mean? I understand why it's happening. And this is my deal, not none of your guys' issue, but it is, no doubt it's frustrating. No, I've not talked about Paige's debut, Soraya, in AEW. I'm very happy. I've always got along very, very well with Paige, / Soraya. I know her as Paige, but Soraya. And, it's crazy, right? With everything, with her injuries and not wrestling. And, I trust that she's in great health. I don't see that not being the case and coming back. You know, I just hope, that's what I've said. And I've had a neck situation with nerves. It's a very scary thing. You just got to know, you got to wrestle your style and not waver and stray away from that for anyone. And, it's like I see a lot of people that do a lot of the pile drivers and things. I, and being as heavy as I am, I would never trust anyone to pile drive me. It's one move I will not, it's not on my list. I will not take it. And you know what? I also won't give it. So nobody, hey, I'm not asking you to trust me to drop and have your head be inches away or where it's coming down. And because I've had that kind of injury and I had to wear a neck pump deal to traction my neck for a year and a half to get my everything back while wrestling. Didn't miss any time with it. It was the same time Daniel Bryan had all his going on with his nerve stuff. And it was like, that's like injuries people don't even know about that you just go work through so you don't miss any time. And I'll never, ever again. I had atrophy and weakness all the way down. That was my left arm, I believe, on that. And I don't wish that on anyone. It is a scary thing. When I see people doing that stuff, I just like, hey, it's just, I don't think you understand the how serious your life will change if something goes wrong. So I just hope, in tying that back into her, she doesn't allow anyone to do anything crazy that involves her neck or her head, and focuses on going out there and having great matches with great storylines and stays healthy and makes a boatload of money. So I'm very happy for her. Captain Slappy, thank you. Yeah, now set to all on notifications. Yeah, it just has to be set on all for the channel, for my channel, if I'm not mistaken. Otherwise, they won't give you all the notifications, which may be a way for them to I don't know. I would just keep it all on as far as for the channel. If you guys, and it, you know, I'm producing a weekly Ryback show, a weekly Feeding Time. You know, there's going to be a Ryback show out on Saturday. You know, there's going to be a Feeding Time out on Monday. And that's all for the people that do see it. Please just continuously check with that. And hey, if you don't enjoy the content, I have no issues with that. I just ask for the, hey, if my people subscribe to me and they want to be shown, like, hey, let's please show them the content and then allow them to make that choice. You know, give me a fighting chance. And that's like I've said all along, I built my social media up. This is like the Twitter case. You know, Twitter, I tell people, I go, how do you think I initially got nearly 1.7 million followers on Twitter? I go, do you think I got that based off my what I'm doing with them only showing my tweets to 2 or 3,000 people now? Or it just takes common sense. You go, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. How come that corresponds with when he walked out and they wanted his stuff and then everything crashed on that, right? With that, so. And now it's down to 1.3 million. It's under 1.4. I've lost 350,000 followers on Twitter since 2016. And I'm active as all. I'm as active as anyone on that platform. I tweet, I retweet, I put stuff up, and I just go. I look, I go 2,000 to 4,000 on almost every tweet, no matter what the engagement. And I get fantastic engagement on many of the tweets where the average is 0.5%. For Twitter on engagement. I'm way above that on the majority of my stuff, but it doesn't, in fact, on people being shown. And I'm just like, okay. Captain Slappy, thank you very much for putting that on and testing it out and seeing. And that's what I'm just going to remind people on all the videos to turn all the notifications on for the channel. And we'll see. But I'm hoping in having this dialogue with YouTube that the channel mysteriously, it's like the TikTok when there's issues. They won't say there's anything going on, but then the channel, after I talk to them, mysteriously takes off again whenever. And I just go, okay, cool. You're never going to admit anything, right? YouTube's never going to admit anything. But I've said my piece to them and where I go, it's in your best interest to probably not play that, because WWE and the legal stuff, we know they're tied into it, and it's not going to bode well if I decide to take that energy and then come at you guys at a later time with the factual information that we have. So, and that's where I think I'm hopefully going to get them to be like, yeah, okay, let's just let this be normal, but we'll see. All right, let's see here. Did I miss any super chats? Hello, hello. I talked about the Logan Paul versus Roman Reigns stuff last week on last week's edition of the Ryback Show. Joseph, good to see you, buddy. What do you think about the White Rabbit stuff going on in WWE? Yeah, I'm not too – I've not seen any of that. I've just saw a couple brief things online, and I'm very excited if it is for Bray Wyatt. I'm very excited because Bray is one of my favorite people. I love Bray Windham as a person and as a talent, and always enjoyed wrestling him and doing live events. We did pay per view and did a couple things, and wish we could have done more from a storyline perspective. And he's a great creative mind. He always has ideas. He's very easy to work with, and I think he will greatly contribute to that WWE roster if he does return in some capacity. And then, so I'm hoping that it is for him if it is. If you saw a video about it, depends on who puts out the video. There's a lot of the channels and a lot of those like mark sites, and they know I block most of those. So here's the other thing. I have majority of people that create like YouTube content wrestling, like the quote unquote dirt sheets and those places that come out with fake content on a lot of different things just for views. I block the majority of them. I block the majority of people that do the dirt sheets and talk about it. Like, I just think they're the lowest tier of humans on the planet that go into that. And they create hate and negativity and drama for profit for people off of lies majority of the time. And that's not to say that they don't pepper in something else going on that could be factual from time to time, but just people in general that go that route, I want nothing to do with. So they're blocked already by me because of them creating fake hateful content, and then they get even madder that they get blocked for what they're doing, so they create more on it. And that's where a lot of that, like, hey, you want to say that I had a lackluster WWE career? Hey, I'm the most followed pro wrestler behind The Rock on TikTok. Don't think it was that lackluster while being restricted by the company. Played every role to perfection, was arguably the most over person at one point in time, which very few people could say in pro wrestling. With that, always got fantastic reactions on every show that I was on, whether I was babyface or heel. I would say the loudest, if no matter where I was, almost every single night on live events and things of that nature. I'm very grateful for, you know, for my career and the roles that I played. So I think it's, and it's not over, you know, overcoming the injuries and all this BS going on. And I think it's going to be a beautiful story when it's all said and done. But that's the people, the fact that they still talk about stuff, I think is good, you know, and they make up their lies still to try to keep just hammering that home. It's like, no, keep trying. You're never going to win, but keep trying. It's physical acting. That's what I'll tell people too. You can't fail in pro wrestling unless you failed the role, which you can't, like, I've never failed a role that was asked for me to go out there and execute. The majority of wrestlers don't. That's where I laugh at, like, it's physical acting. It really is not to say that people haven't failed at different times, because they have in different things and whatnot. But, you know, it's like Ryback failed at WrestleMania 29, right? When he fell with what's-his-face before becoming the number one contender with John Cena. How did I fail? We rehearsed that, and I knew that's what we were doing prior to going out there. Did I want to do it? No, I tried to get that changed. It was a horrible finish with that. And I knew why it was being done. And that talked about that a million times with that. But you can't fail. How went out, executed it. Now, had that not been the finish, and it was supposed to be me hitting the shell shock 1, 2, 3, and I tripped and fell on my face, and they had to call an audible, and I lost the match, then I would have failed in my role, right? But I didn't. We went out and executed, and every single time, perfectly executed every role ever asked. And that's where I try to raise awareness for people with wrestling is physical acting. on that. The only way you fail is if you don't execute what you're supposed to do that you rehearsed to go out and do, or that was planned prior to going out and doing, right? Hello, hello. Good to see all of you guys. Somebody says they got a treadmill finally and tread at least 8 miles a day. Feed me more. Good job, man. Captain Slappy, thank you. Also saying I've been solid. Ryback has been a solid bet every time on pointing out how the WWE stuff was going to go at GOAT. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. I would like to think on a lot of the stuff that has happened and things that have gone on that I've given pretty solid insight into. And sometimes some of the things has taken years to come to fruition on certain things because people don't want to believe things when they're told it. They don't want to, you know. So it is we'll see what happens moving forward with everything else. But as far as the treadmill, I just bought a new piece. I've been cleaning my gym. Once a year, I got to clean my gym really good. And I vacuum it multiple times, but like really wipe stuff down. And here and there, I'll do stuff. But like dust accumulates from having it in the garage out there and this being living in the desert. And so I got to vacuum and then kind of like mop the gym mats and wipe stuff down really good. And I've been doing that over the last few days. But I ordered a brand new Shrug. The hammer strength ground base, you could use like it could be used for rows, lunges, squats, deadlifts, and shrugs. And it has four horns, so you can load all the extra weight on it. And I'm going to try to get my traps to be the all time biggest they've ever been having that because that gym, there's only at select gyms have that. They have a lot of gyms have the seated hammer strength machine. I can't put enough weight on that though. I need to be able to up the weight a little bit. And I like that because it locks you in. So it's a little easier on your body than doing like the barbell because I'll load the weight on the barbell, but I don't do that all the time. And I train smart on a lot of things. And that hammer strength allows you to overload the muscle and without putting a lot of strain on your body. And it locks you in a good position. I love it. And so I bought one. I found one on eBay. I should hopefully have it in the next like 7 to 10 days. And so I had to make room for it and adjust some things. And then I was like, oh, I got to clean this gym. It's getting dusty. And so I've been doing that the last few days. I got to do it tonight. Like the dumbbells, you got to like roll the dumbbells and clean the dumbbell racks. And there's like dust all back behind it. And like, I don't really give a damn about it, but like, I go, it is good to clean this up. Keep it nice. Because it's an expensive ass gym. I've put that gym now with the amount of machines and equipment. I bet you we're not at six yet. We're not at six figures yet, but it's in the high. It's approaching that with what I've put in and equipment and setting that all up and with the squat rack and platform and all the dumbbells to 150 dumbbells. You want to dumbbells now too. I probably could turn around and sell my gym if I wanted to sell it and make a killing with how much gym equipment has gone up. Like dumbbells, I think I paid $14,000, $15,000 for my whole set from 5 pounds all the way to 150. I bet you with what from COVID and the cost of things, I was looking at dumbbells the other day. I go, whoa, those are way more than what I paid. I could sell my dumbbell rack probably for double what I bought it for because everything's in almost mint condition because it's only me using it. And I go to the gym a lot of times still. I only use it sometimes. Jack, you said I'm 45 and I let myself go. I still have muscle, but have a gut. What's your recommendation for losing the belly as I use bands to try to not affect my joints? Thank you so much, sir. Well, Jack, yeah, that's good. So band workouts are absolutely fantastic. I'm a big believer that everything works and nothing works. And it's our mindset and it's how we feel about our workout that that we're doing, and it's just being consistent with it. So if you're doing a band workout and you have all the different bands and you're able to work out for a period of time, like an hour a day, 4 days a week, and you, right? So you've got, and whatever it is, and, but you've got something solid that you're putting in that work effort every, the majority of days a week, giving yourself some rest days, but then that's going to come down to your diet. And what, if you go to feedmemore.com, we have our BMR, basal metabolic rate calculator on there. You plug in your information. This is all free with that. And it'll tell you how many calories you should be consuming a day. And that's, if you want to lose weight or gain weight, you could adjust that, and that you could play with the numbers on that. And what you want to do ideally is you want to lose weight. So it will cut your calories down on that for you and tell you what you should be doing to hit the weight that you want to get to eventually. Right. And so then it's going to be on your diet, following through with that, eating a diet, a healthy, consistent diet with your workout program. It doesn't, you don't get that gut overnight, and you don't lose that gut overnight. And in, you know, in a year from now, you're going to be in much better shape than you are at this point in time right now. Now, are you going to still be in the exact shape that you want to be? Probably not, not exact. Maybe, maybe you will, depending on how hard you go. But then it's up to maintain that, or to continue to do more work to get even better following the year following, right? With that. And I would recommend, we've got our number one bestseller, the Shell Shock Weight Management Formula, Fat Burner, whatever you want to call it, on that. I think if you add that in and you're doing those other things, it's going to speed up your results on that. And then, but if you're not doing those other things, I'm going to say, hold off, get those other things in order, and then look into investing. You want to invest in a protein powder. We've got a great, the vanilla mocha plant powered protein, selling great for us. People are loving it. Tastes amazing. Mixes like whey. Hey, you can incorporate that in, into your diet, into having, but it all, that plugs into consistency. And if the consistency isn't there on the diet and the training, I'm going to say skip the supplements, unless you're buying something like the sleep aid to go to sleep, or the energy just to have energy for whatever you're doing on the wake up, unlimited energy, right? Or you have low testosterone with the big guy, like those things, even though that helps to work out with for the muscle building aspects of it, there's certain supplements you could take that are don't, you don't have to do anything with that. Others, I'm going to say, hold off, get the other stuff in order, and then look at investing in that stuff to go along with it. Thank you very much, Smoke, saying I was one of the best guys on the main roster of Raw. Hands down, thank you very, very much. And hopefully, once again, at some point in time, I've been blessed to get my health back, and it's been a lot of work, and we'll see what the future holds. How many meals do I eat a day? So I do four. I eat four times a day. Three of those are food, and one of those is, well, one of all four have food. But it's breakfast is food, plant based. Majority plant based, but with ovo vegetarian with eggs and egg whites, and vegetables and different things, and then a bowl of fruit. Meal two is my plant powered protein shake with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with that. That's meal two. Meal three is beans, usually either white or pinto beans, with mushrooms, green beans, and other vegetables, with like hemp hearts in there as well. All plant-based, all vegan on that meal with that. And then usually with that, I'll do air pop popcorn, a small amount, and I adjust the amount of grams. I have a scale based off how many carbs I'm eating for the day. And then my last meal is now my salad with plant-based chicken and plant-based ranch. And also two servings of pistachios, a serving of Brazil nuts, and some nights a serving of walnuts as well with that. And that's it for the day with that, but four times. I was vegan for 13 months. Give or take maybe a little longer. And then I added eggs in many months ago and absolutely loved it. I have no moral issue with eggs with that, especially when you get them from a good farm with that. And I think eggs are, I think, like if you have your own chickens which a lot of people do, a lot of people don't with that, but you get them from a trusted farm that aren't hurting or injuring the animals. I go, why am I not consuming this perfect protein with that, with what I, when I need, and especially when I go lower carbs, and I go, it makes sense. But I've also too, with like, I have an understanding, and again, I ate more animal products than probably anybody before I made the switch to vegetarian, then vegan, and then adjusting and going ovo vegetarian, where I, and you look at the circle of life, and I think though humans, we have a choice, and we try to, from a place of love. But if you look at all of life kills other life. And you look, and I hate the factory farming and the whole system, and I don't think it's healthy to eat animal products and eat beef and chicken and fish. I don't think it's healthy to eat that stuff in large quantities with that. And again, but like, I look at things, you know, what if you had a farm and you had your own animals and you did have, you had cattle and they live a completely long, normal life and die of natural causes. And then you choose to then your family to butcher that and to use that for food. That would, I don't think a lot of people would see that as being, you know, outside of it. I guess if you look at it from a, like a pet standpoint, it would be on that, but like, it wouldn't be as controversial. I think it's the system and how we're doing things. And again, I stay away from that stuff because I'm very performance-based, and I've seen the results of going to a plant-based diet. I think humans are meant to function. And again, the research shows 85% plant-based, you get all the benefits of being full vegan with that. So, but I where I'm a little more now understanding on that, but like the system is completely broke in what we're doing. And again, and I love, I would say I'm pretty damn close to being vegan, but I'm ovo vegetarian. And again, I don't have any moral issue with eggs, and I understand some people might or do, but I don't. And that's what I really thought about that. Like, I have no issue with this, especially when you get them from the right places. Very easy. I think the diet's cheaper being vegan than it is when you eat, like when you're not buying all the processed foods and you're buying like the right things. I think it's cheaper. If you eat out though, a lot more expensive. I appreciate the super chat, but we're not even going to give any acknowledgement on any of that person. Have I tried the new KFC green nuggets? A video on here says they're disgusting. If you're talking about the plant-based, they're Beyond Chicken. I did a video on that many months ago when it first came out. Absolutely loved it. I actually, though, that it's funny, when I did do that, I had it again. I tried them one other time on my cheat meal. And I remember that was when I got the, I don't know, even COVID on it, though, but I thought they made me sick. And it wasn't, I actually started getting COVID symptoms shortly after eating them. It was crazy. Maybe I got it from that. That was my first time getting sick in like 9 years. It was crazy. And only time I've been sick since. How has the vegan lifestyle been treating you so far? And what differences have you noticed since you made the switch to plant-based? More energy, superior blood flow, massive increase in endurance from my hard cardio and my recovery time. In which I've stayed on top, and I've stayed in top shape since I've left wrestling, even though I've had to adjust like my weight training, but my cardio and conditioning, I'm blow up conditioning, and like recovery. That's where I go, man, this is really, really cool to see the difference and feel that, with that. And so, but if people aren't doing that, they don't understand it, the how great of a benefit that is to an athlete, right? With that, and then I saw the muscle building. I go, oh, I didn't lose any muscle on this. I feel better. I have more energy. And it's just a matter of making sure you consume the right calories and consume the right foods, and that you have a diverse, my diet's more diverse than ever. And again, I think I'm at a point like, hey, you're going to go out and I haven't done it, but if there's an outing and we're going to go and go have a steak and like I could go do that if I wanted, and but have my diet is so much healthier. Not to go, okay, that doesn't mean I'm going to do this every single day with that. But I, again, I've just seen the rewards and the benefits where I'm like, every meal I look at, like, hey, I want to get better, right? And that's where I try to get better with every meal, right? Rather than go backwards. But we're human. I'm human. There's times, hey, you know what? Yeah, screw it. I'm going to have a pizza. Do I not miss meat? No, I absolutely love the taste of meat and chicken. I'm one of those where I'm not going to lie and say like, oh, I think it's disgusting. No, I absolutely loved it. I eat pounds of it a day. I just think I care about health and well-being and energy and wanting to be my all-time best. Inflammation's another thing that I should have mentioned. This as one of the biggest contributing factors is my scar tissue started really breaking up in my shoulder when I made the switch to the diet. And that was the confirmation that kept me also going on it. It was like, and it continues to break up, and which again, needing a right shoulder replacement, now being extremely functional and damn near 100%, unheard of. And it's been out countless hours of work and rehab and all this scar tissue work and diet and to keep that. And I can tell you, like before I made the transition, even before my back, I would still get back pain like in the morning, and it wasn't bad, but I know my back was tight and sore. And then when I transitioned and switched to the vegan diet, that went away completely. And I go, okay. And my back's 100%. It's been year and a half, two years since I've had anything remote, like where my back's been sore. I don't have like, I'm more flexible. And I don't stretch and I don't do nearly the amount of like stretching that I used to do. And I look at people now, I go, I really think like that diet and the dairy and the animal products get us so inflamed. I used to stretch for 30, 45 minutes a day, wasting time. I would get tight right away, right after. I'm like, this is stupid. Why am I wasting my time doing this? Now I'm just flexible. And I'm like, I know that that is a result of just consuming better energy. Another super chat. That's an odd thing. I'm not going to even pull that one up either. I don't know what, but thank you for the super chat. India, love you too. Thank you. I have not been to Africa. I've not. It's one of the places I've not been. Oh, that's a good, okay. I will pull that up, Jeff. I apologize, Jeff. I thought you were just a weirdo, and I did not understand the reference. And but you were clearly talking about CM Punk. Jeff Raines says, are you old, tired, and sick of working with children? By the way, one of my favorite, Kevin Nash in the Click This podcast. I think Nash is, again, I think he has one of the top rated shows. Like, I knew the moment he said he was gonna do a podcast, I'm like, oh, that's gonna be good. He's just and he's doing it with the guy that he did all his wrestling shoots on, those quote-unquote shoot interviews, and as Sean Oliver. I love those two together. That guy's really good. But I love Nash going, he looked him up, he goes, he's only 42. I thought Punk was like 44 45. But if he is 42, it's even funnier. I'm 40 and I've never felt better, but I don't have a gray hair and I've taken care of myself and I've been stress-free outside of some of this stuff, sleeping in my own bed, getting 8 hours of sleep every night and built up my business. And right. Like, but I'm at a point where like I'm very, really at a comfortable place, but Nash going off on him in a good way. But like, cause Punk had done stuff, said stuff to him in the past and they'd work together, you know, they did the deal. And Nash is a gladiator, man, and had more surgeries. When he was going through all his injuries, I was like, damn. And he wrestled into his 50s, I think into his 60s. He was still doing matches and whatnot. And I love Nash, though. He's one of my favorite people on that. And he said he just kind of was like, he's like, I heard that promo, and then I looked up, and he's only 42. get the F out of here. And but yeah, that's what I don't know. I'd heard there was someone saying that AEW is going to buy out his contract. I won't be shocked at any. I don't see anything. No, just knowing him and how he is, and unless he gets to a point where he apologizes and humbles himself for the BS and all the garbage. But I just think that he's rubbed too many people the wrong way, and that a lot of people are finally have seen what I knew all along, because I dealt with it with him. And he didn't like me because he couldn't get away with it with me. And it drove him crazy because he physically couldn't do anything to me. So then he did a bunch of things behind my back, which I wasn't even aware of until well past the point. And it is what it is. But karma works in crazy ways and will come back at various times. And yeah. But we'll see what happens. You know, I think it's unfortunate that they hope it, in a perfect world, you'd make money with that and make that into an angle. But you got a guy who's had surgery and out for 8 months at least again. You know, can they come back and revisit that at a later time? Yeah, but I don't know. It doesn't quite have the same impact of when it happened, and then people get suspended and you're not doing anything with it on TV. And it's just like, oh, that was a mess. But, you know, one of the things I was thinking about this the other day, very fortunate there's another major wrestling promotion where guys are making a lot of money and have an opportunity to do what they love, right? With that. And it's, again, you're going to deal with people online and these social media people that complain about everything. And but Tony Khan, you got to understand, he hasn't been a wrestling promoter all that long, right? And with this, and we live in a day and age and people will compare him to Vince McMahon and different things. Vince McMahon came from the business with his father and took over and was a part of it and then took over at a very young age. And also had all that experience that wasn't before the internet and everything, in which we know, and he had those NDAs, we know all that, but like where his mistakes weren't broadcasted to the world. If he made mistakes, which he made a lot along the way, right, they weren't publicized and criticized and nowhere to the degree that Tony Khan, in this day of the internet and everything being seen, right, and some of it they want and others you don't, but you got to understand he's learning on the fly as well. And that's going to be, there's going to be things that happen and mistakes. And the key is, okay, learn from them, fix, adjust, drown out all the armchair quarterbacks and people attacking them and this and that, and just keep making the company better and hopefully profitable and keep growing. And then everybody should want that. That's a fan of pro wrestling, because that allows more opportunities for wrestlers and more opportunities for fans to enjoy different products and different television shows, right? So I'll never understand like the people that like attack. You want all promotions to do well in their own way and whatnot. But I think that was just, I thought about the other day, I go, he's so early on into this. No doubt that thing didn't go as planned with that. Not, what do you want him to do? Like, too, the people, because he was sitting up there when Punk is going off, it's like, I felt bad for him in the sense that the guy that you've spent more money on than anyone is just self-destructing right in front of everyone with that. But like, he kept his cool. He let him say what he had to say, handle it behind the scenes. You know, he could have just went off and get him out of here now, cut his headset, cut his mic off, get out of here. But then that makes, and then there's a whole new set of critiques for that. He handle your business behind the scenes. Go ahead. Self-destruct in front of everyone. We're going to do this. Hey, we're going to buy you out at some point. Thanks, but no thanks. And we'll see what they do. I don't know. But hopefully, you know, you can find a way to make money with it. But if not everyone's willing to play ball, you've got a shit disturber and disruptor that is not good for the environment and for the morale, and which most of us from WWE knew all along. And now another organization can see it. And it's all an act and a BS lie. And hey, let me buy you guys ice cream. And hey, I like everything as long as I get wins and I'm on top. But if you want me not to play that role, then no. And so It is what it is. No, I don't listen to country music. I don't hate it. I just don't listen to it. I literally have a clip on, what do I think of Braun Strowman? There's a clip on me talking about Braun Strowman from one of the other, I think from last week's show or the week prior. Sorry. We're going to shell shock Deepak out of here. It's weird when you spam the chat. We're also going to go ahead and shell shock this guy out of here. I know you just wanted me to say, feed me more, but I blocked you and you didn't hear it. You don't have to put it 1,000 times in the chat. All right, let's see. What else do we got going on here? Sorry, I'm scrolling through looking at everything. I'm doing well. Thank you very, very much. Again, a reminder for you guys on the channel, please turn all of your notifications on for my channel to make sure you get all the latest notifications for all the videos, the new videos. TikTok, what's going on? Appreciate all the love and support over there. IG as well. On another edition here of the Ryback Show. Yes, I do have a bald head. Big traps and a bald head. Bro, the chips guy. I am the chips guy. I am Ryback. The greatest ASMR video ever produced. What am I supping today, big man? Or sipping? I'm just the black coffee. I'm going to assume you meant sipping. But yeah, I'm in my 24-hour fast here till later tonight. And having my black coffee. I get one more black coffee later on after my shoulder appointment where I've got a 90-minute scar tissue, maybe even 2 hours. We got to see if we can get 2 hours today and keep on top of all the work I got to do on my shoulder with my damn golf ball. My favorite place in Las Vegas is my home. No, do I drink iced coffee? No, I've had it. I'm a fan of hot coffee. Can you talk about if you think the WWE machine will survive and thrive past Vince? Absolutely, I think it will. And I think it's in right now, and they've got many, many years with Hunter and Stephanie involved, and then you've got Nick Khan on the business side of things, and you know, things are going to change. I think as far as the longer things go on, eventually, and at some point, Hunter will retire, Stephanie will retire, most likely, or become less involved, and new people will be put in roles. But I think they've got a formula on running things, and they've got so many people in different positions on running that machine worldwide that you just got to plug the right people into the positions to play these small roles that, like, and they talked about Vince wore more hats than anybody. And now you've just got maybe hire more people to wear those hats that he was wearing, but the formula is there. And then people are going to do their, you know, Hunter being a creative, he's going to do what he sees creatively being his vision, not rather than Vince's. So then we're going to see in it, whoever's in that role is what you're going to see play out on TV of the people they push and the right. And Hunter probably has different ideas and philosophies than Vince. But he also has very similar mindset in other areas with him that things will stay the same in certain areas. And I think it's going to continue to be the largest wrestling promotion in the world. And I think AEW, and I said before, you know, I think if they adjust them some things, they can make things a lot closer than they are. But WWE is by far the most profitable wrestling organization on the planet. And nothing's even close to that. And AEW is nowhere near that, but AEW is the number two wrestling promotion. And over time, that gap can narrow if they continue to do right things and find ways to expand and grow their audience and tap into to more popularity with the talent and more mainstream, right? And grow that bottom line. And we could see that gap tighten. It's not happening anytime overnight. Now, ratings-wise, AEW can beat them in the ratings much sooner than they could probably beat them from a profitability standpoint, revenue-wise, with that. But ratings-wise, they can make things a hell of a lot closer with that. But again, that's going to take. Do they want to do that? Would they rather have 2 million people watching other than or 500,000 or a million on some shows? I'd rather want 2 million people watching, and I would adjust the storytelling and the booking to want that. But that's just me. But I think they want that too. And I think, like I said, though, Tony's very early on to this. And I think he's going to see the longer he goes and WWE does good stuff from a production standpoint. It's like, man, I think we could do that too in our own way. And hopefully they do. And they continue to grow and expand. And he continues to learn. And their numbers keep going up because it only benefits everybody. That's why you'll never hear me like say anything. I want every pro wrestling promotion to thrive and prosper because it's good for fans and it's good for the talent. And I've always been pro talent. I don't know what my favorite place in Canada. The favorite place in Canada probably used to be what was the name of that pizza and chicken wing place? I don't eat that stuff anymore, but I can't remember the name. It's a really popular pizza and chicken place in Canada. Maybe somebody in the comments. I used to go there all the time when I was in Canada. Hello. My thoughts on Jim Cornette. I have him blocked. There's a lot of things I think Jim talks about, what we have talked about this many times, that I agree with on his different ideas and philosophies on pro wrestling and booking and different things. And then there's other things. I think he's a hateful person. I think he thrives on hate and negativity. He creates drama. He pushes out lies on different things and topics. Maybe not necessarily, but from ignorance or from the other person that's on that show feeding him lies or feeding him something without context and then him going off in a negative, hateful way on it. I've said I personally don't agree with making money that way. I don't think it's good. I think it brings bad karma and I think it can create for bad situations in real life. When you run into those people, which if you see, he talks bad about a lot of people. And he's very, very hateful individual without, again, people. Now, it's one thing if you get into an argument or you like a conflict in somebody and then you start going back and forth, right, with that. But even then, at least it's a situation with that. But he'll just go off on people, which me, I never had any interactions with him, nothing negative. I remember he came up to me when I first left WWE and came up and said hello and shook my hand and seemed like a nice guy. And then I see he does all this stuff talking trash and like on things and like going off on things and like steroid stuff. And I'm like, brother, you couldn't be any further from the truth. Like you tell me you don't know me without telling me you don't know me. But then when you react to that, then that just makes him, he just spits out more venom. And that's where I just realized, they go, this guy, it's never ending. He has nothing else to live for other than the hate and negativity and the drama with any of it. And just, hey, I would love to come face to face with him. That's all I'll say with that. And we'll see what route he wants to take with all of that. And that's non-threatening with any of it. Just, hey, would like to come face to face at some point with that. There's things I hear him say that I will agree with. And then others, when he goes off on attacking people, I could just care less for that. I don't think that's a good way to live life. I think he would be so much more beneficial, you know, too. Like, this is my thing. Here's the thing. Like, if you see something and you hate it and you don't like it, there's a way to say that and offer constructive criticism to help today's talents rather than start name-calling them, saying how bad they suck, and name-calling them and making it personal. And that's the stuff where I'm just like, but he does it for to get people, the people that listen to that, that select audience thrives on that hate and negativity and drama. And so he's just making money doing that. And he gets his views off of that and creating conflict and drama, just sitting in his home. I'm just like, hey, you can help the product and you have some good ideas on some things, not on everything. Nobody does, but there's things that, and things change and evolve over time. Some of the old school stuff, but I'm a big fan of old school psychology and storytelling and booking and evolving and updating it in current times with that. But like, hey, you see something you don't like on AEW, right? Great. Say that in a way that you could say that and offer like, hey, though, if I was involved in the product still, this is maybe what I would do in that situation. And then the people can listen to it and today's talent can listen to it and go, hey, maybe, yeah, you know what? He didn't call me 20 different names publicly in where I have to defend myself. And, you know, maybe next time we do, maybe we can look at that from a different viewpoint with that. But he doesn't do that. So he hurts the product because he turns people against him. Nobody's going to want to listen to you after you call him every name in the book publicly and try to shit all over somebody. Nobody's going to be receptive. Hey, yeah, let's listen to that guy. No, they're just going to tune you out. Hello. But yeah, that's just my take on it. I just think there's a better, you just act better. Hello. Let me see here. Yes, there you go, my man. Brandon says, are you talking about Boston Pizza in Canada? I 100% am talking about Boston Pizza. Thank you for the name. I couldn't think of it off the top of my head. I used to, if you're going to ask me what my favorite place used to be in Canada, it used to be Boston Pizza. I used to, every time I found one, I would go order their, I think they had baked chicken wings, if I'm not mistaken. I would order baked chicken wings there and get a salad and sometimes a soup. And when I left WWE and I did an appearance in Canada and I was there for like 4 days, I like ate there every single day, like twice a day, morning or afternoon and in dinner. Boston Pizza was expensive. I spent a good amount of money when I was over there. Hello. My opinion on Liver King. I don't know the guy, I think it's the guy does drugs. I think that is, and I think he's found a way of selling the ancestral supplements, which I didn't even know he was behind up until recently. Within the last year. But I think being transparent and honest is a very thing. He's trying to get people to believe that he looks the way that he looks by eating and taking the supplements that he takes with that. When he is using drugs to look the way that he's looking. Not saying that supplements and different things on that, they play a huge role when done right. But for his supplements aren't like Feed Me More Nutrition. His stuff is like the he eats the livers and the eye. He eats in internal organs of animals. Eats their nuts, whatever, and tries to make it seem like that's the way that you can look like that. And it's deceiving and dishonest, and it's bullshit with that. people, hey, you want to know? Yes, I've been making my own supplements since I was in my 20s with Feed Me More Nutrition. They have played a massive role in my success, in my health, in my fitness, in the way that I look. Yes, I've been on TRT within the normal ranges from the age of 28 on TRT and HRT in the literally mid-normal range, where I am not taking super excessive dosages to affect how I look. I look very similar when I'm on TRT or when I'm off TRT. The major difference is how my energy levels and how I feel with that, right? With that, but I'm honest. I tell people that, and then people can speculate, oh, you're lying. You take way more than that, this and that. But I'm being honest. Can't be anything but honest. Been honest from the start with any of that. And I've got photos and different things. You want to see? I got photos of when I was in Nexus and when I was Skip Sheffield. That was pre-TRT on that. That was me with low testosterone. And go look at that. And I don't think you'll see a massive difference. You'll be like, Jesus Christ. That guy looks like he's taking something. So, but hard work ethic, great genetics. But I've been on TRT since I was 28 with that. Now, I just think a guy like that, oh, I'm natural. I don't take anything. And then, but if you want to look like the Liver King, blah, 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 blah. Like, I just think it's garbage. And unfortunately, there's too many people out there like that. And then that gives everyone a bad name that's even involved in that people think everyone's like that. It's not the case. Stevia is a natural sweetener. It's a plant and it is a natural sweetener. It's not an artificial sweetener like aspartame or sucralose. And it doesn't have the bad side effects like those do. Not to say that everyone can use stevia, because there are people with sensitivities to different things, right? With that, but it's safe for the majority of people. I'm looking to see where I missed a super chat. Someone saying I missed one. I don't see anything showing up, but hold on. I'm going to just keep scrolling just to make sure. There were a lot. I did miss it. Thank you, Sonny. Sonny Lamont, good to see you, my man. Yo, big guy. Hello from Alaska. Good to see you. Your thoughts on Roman Reigns' title run, good or bad for WWE? I love it. It's my favorite thing going. And I just talked about that a little bit on the show, that I would love to see the Bloodline angle continue to go and to see it grow, eventually get Tamina in there, which I mentioned her dating Sami Zayn on from a character standpoint. So that really makes Sami part of the Bloodline a little more, even more official than kind of an honorary oos. But I would like to see that can, I think it's the best thing going. And I think I like having all the Samoans together. And I think Sami fits in perfectly with his character and what he's doing. And I love it, man. I'm very happy. And not to say, I think Roman could drop one of the titles, and I think you can have one of the titles for Raw and have the title for SmackDown. I do think that is a good idea to split those up. But I have, like, at some point in time, I'm okay if they want to keep that on until WrestleMania. I understand it. And I like them holding the gold, and I like the whole package of that thing. And I understand if you watch like what they did, they put on some good TV, man. And all those guys are home run hitters that they've got involved in that. So you're not going to hear, I've from the start said I've loved it. And I think they've all of them have excelled in really played their roles to perfection in all of this. That new t-shirt is going to sell like crazy. Yeah. The honorary oos. Cause I think all the fans are an honorary oos, right? That shirt will sell. I do think that shirt will sell very, very well. And I hope it does, because that, and I hope it'd be interesting to know how that royalty that here's the thing that's going to suck for Sami on that, even though it won't suck, but it will suck. Is Sammy's probably not going to get all the royalties for that. That's probably going to be split up between Roman, Jimmy and Jay, and Sami. So that's going to be getting split up four ways, maybe even five if Heyman is involved in that. That shirt could be potentially be split up five ways, which your money on that doesn't go nearly as far, but better than nothing still. Cigar, I'm not going to answer your question. I'm just going to block you, brother, from spamming. You can't spam the big guy's chat. You get meat hooked and shell shocked every single time. 1, 2, 3. Thanks for playing. Not today, Junior. And again, it's the same people because the format's usually the same on how they create their accounts. Shell shock the other guy out of here too. Don't worry, guys. The big guy always has it. I was just thinking about this the other day. Someone goes, Hugh says, Ryback, when was the last time you were clean shaven? Was it Skip Sheffield days? Jeez, man, time flies. Hope you're well, my man. Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. I go, man, I have not shaved my face. I've trimmed my beard down pretty low at various points. But this is like the perfect, this right here is me. Like, I'm very happy with like the length of it. This is, if it could stay like this nonstop and I never had to take care of it, there'd be perfection for, on my standpoint, from my point of view, where I like my beard to be and shave my head every other day. Like today's day two, you can see a little bit of hair there, but I go 2 days. I shave my head every other day. I trim my beard and my neckline every other day. I do my neckline every other day. I trim my beard usually every 10 to 12 days. I usually got to get the beard trimmer out and just trim it down a little bit and make sure no hate crazy hairs. And I don't like my beard when it gets longer. I don't like that look. And, but yeah, time flies, man. It's like, if I didn't want people to recognize me, I would let my hair grow out and just shave my face in the sense of like, that I would look totally different in the sense of having hair on my head. But I never thought I always never thought I would ever have a beard. And then I just loved it so much. I don't think I'm one of those people that where I was like, oh, you're repulsive without a beard. I think I think a lot of women probably maybe prefer me without the beard, but I think it's become just part of me now. I don't know. Just a good looking man. Ryback, you love John Cena? Man, I love John Cena so much. God, I envision just being with John. There's not a day that goes by where I just go, God, what I wouldn't give just to be with John again, to be in his arms, holding his hand, having him throw me through that top of the ambulance. What I wouldn't give just to be recognized by John. Not a day that it goes by that I don't ask those questions. Next. Jesus, some of the questions you guys ask.
John, do you love John Cena, Ryan?
Like, Jesus Christ, is that what you came here to ask me? I mean, hey, there's no such thing as a stupid question, but there are stupid people. No, I've not retired. Retiring's for pussies. Big guy ain't no pussy. Have a good workout, Brandon. Thank you very much, my man. No, I haven't had to dye my hair. I don't have any gray hairs yet. I'm sure at some point that time will come. It has not come yet. I've always had some light blonde hairs, and I've always had this light brown beard. It is, but we've not got to that point yet. I'm sure the moment I go back to wrestling, I'll get some gray hairs. I don't know what my prediction for Charles Oliveira and Islam will be. I look forward to it. I go in and I think deep down I'm rooting for Islam because I love Khabib. I love the way Khabib handles business. I love the way Khabib conducts himself. And I love he's coaching and helping people and passing down his knowledge, and he enjoys it. And yeah, man. How great, though. I love storytelling. How cool would it be if like something happens and like Charles and Islam, and Islam is doing well, but Charles, it gets heated and something, Charles like, locks him in something and breaks his arm in front of Khabib, and they make that eye contact. And then it, like Khabib now has to come back and avenge Islam. And that would be like, I think like I love like, And then like Khabib comes back and wins the title. And then Conor like is on a win streak, like a 2 or 3 fight win streak. And then we get the rematch of Conor versus Khabib. Man, take my money. Just take my money. I love like just natural rivalries and storylines. And like, I'm looking forward to it with it. But I don't know what way that's going to go. It's the fight game and anything can happen in that stuff, man. Could be the next Rocky movie. Yeah, that's what it's like. I just love stuff like when you could tie in real emotions and things going on, man. I even said the storyline, I would love like Islam just keeps winning and say Islam. My next storyline, if I'm booking UFC, is Islam beats Charles. And then Islam, though, and all he keeps like he goes on this undefeated streak as champion. But the questions are always for Khabib. He's never as good as Khabib, right? Because Khabib has taught him. So then it's the Rocky Five with, I think it was Rocky Five, right? With Rocky and Tommy Gunn Morrison, with that, who I love that guy, with that, right? With that, but then it turns into Islam and like starts getting jealous of Khabib, and Khabib says he'll never fight again. But then he has to, like Islam makes it personal and then finally attacks Khabib's family on an interview, and Khabib comes back for one match versus Islam. That's what, if I'm booking UFC, what I'm hoping for. What were my reactions from my chip video becoming popular? I create all my content for it to go viral. And I did, that was all created when the channel was new and I was trying to get attention and people were finding my channel and I was trying to get recognized as many different sectors as possible. And somebody goes, you should do some ASMR videos. Those are really popular. Like, I'll try them and see. And it was more of a joke than anything. I did quite a few of them. I didn't even know what ASMR was. I've never listened to a video like that or anything to go to sleep, but I had fun with it. I'd tap on my head and do silly things. And then like a year later, the video started taking off during COVID because people started using it in like the Zoom videos in class and trolling people. And then it kind of just took on a life of its own. But I got to get recognized way more than I thought I ever would as only the Chips guy. That people that don't know me from wrestling, they'll be like, I know you. I've seen it. Like, you're that. You do the Chips. Like, and I, like, or like someone, like, they go, oh, I wrestled. And they'll go, they don't know me from wrestling. And I go, oh, the Chips video. They go, you're the Chips guy. And so it's, to me, it's just another way to get recognized. I have a business and it's more ways for people to find me and to find my business. So all publicity in that end, that's good publicity. You know, I don't worry about like anybody that ever goes like, man, Ryback fell hard. He went from a WWE superstar to eating chips. I'm like, what? Because trust me, I've heard it. And I go, do you understand anything about having a business specifically to it and being on Amazon and an online business where all my social media and content that I produce leads people to my website, feedmemore.com? My store is directly now on YouTube. Do you think I care where people, the traffic is coming from? And it's not like it's some like degrading thing. It's like people eat. I mean, people use that video legitimately to go to sleep. I think it's a great, I'm helping millions of people go to sleep at night. Made me more money on YouTube than any of my other videos. Again, ties into my business. So I think it's a beautiful thing. Like there's not one negative that comes from that. And like I've said, and like go back and get back on TV again, what's the worst that's going to happen? I get a Ruffles deal? Jesus, poor me. Like that literally, that will not shock me if I go back to wrestling and we see that video literally being played on Ruffles commercials. It will not shock me one bit. So then I say to you, oh, how do you think I feel about that after? I feel pretty damn good about it. So that's, and then this could be a moment people come back. He called his shot. He Babe Ruthed it. Save it. Putting it out there right now. Hello, hello, hello. Big Show was by far way easier to shell shock. Big Show was fantastic with his weight. If somebody asked for a suggestion on pushing past fatigue in the gym, again, diet plays a huge role in the foods you're consuming. And I would check out our Wake Up Unlimited Energy on feedmemore.com. I'm telling you, if you take that pre-workout before you go to the gym, you're not going to be tired. It is the most kick-ass, strongest pre-workout that your money could buy. It works. And with that, guys, we're going to wrap up today's show. I got to finish a few things. I've got my shoulder session coming up in a bit. I got to get ready for that. So I appreciate all the love and support. Again, please turn on all notifications on the channel here. And make sure you swing on over to feedmemore.com. Check out my Feed Me More Nutrition. We've got all the merch. I'm wearing my Only Gains shirt, our number one best-selling merchandise on the site right now. You can get hoodies, sweatshirts, tank tops, t-shirts with this, all super comfortable. With that, we've got all the merch and accessories and the best supplements on the planet. You can save 20% with discount code RYBACKSHOW20. That's RYBACKSHOW20 at the end of checkout over on feedmemore.com. Let's have a great one, guys. I thank you again for all the love and support. And until next time, my friends, stay hungry. Feed me more.